As concerts are taking place all over the world in 2006 to mark the birth of one of the most esteemed musical geniuses of all time, I thought we too here at Vatican Radio should add to that list of celebrations by asking our music historian, Monsignor Philip Whitmore, to share with us his knowledge of this great master. Stay tuned and take a deep breath.
Music, maths, and chess. Those are said to be the three areas where you find child prodigies, able even at a tender age to perform as well as the great masters. This year, we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the birth of one of the greatest child prodigies of all time, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in Salzburg in January 1756. I don't know what he was like at maths, and I don't know whether he played chess, but his musical accomplishments from early childhood on are legendary. By age 14, he'd already composed about 100 works, and he continued producing about 25 each year until his death just over 20 years later. The piece we've been listening to was written on a visit to London when the composer was 9 years old. The autograph manuscript is kept in the British Library. The Mozart family spent 15 months in London. This was just one of the many tours arranged by Wolfgang's father Leopold to show off the amazing talent of his young son and his daughter Nannerl. The children were taken to the leading cities of Europe and to the courts of kings and princes. They took Europe by storm. There's a well-known story about Mozart's visit to Rome as a young lad of 14. He heard the Sistine Choir singing Allegri's Miserere. In those days, so the story goes, it wasn't possible to get hold of the music. Only the Sistine Choir had copies of it. But the 14-year-old Mozart heard it performed once and then wrote the whole piece down from memory. The secret was out. That story isn't as far-fetched as it might seem. Allegri's Miserere is quite repetitive, and for a receptive young musical mind, it's not impossible to imagine being able to commit the whole piece to memory. Though, I must admit, I wouldn't have wanted to be set an exercise like that when I was taking my final exams in music. That sort of childhood is bound to leave its mark. From a musical point of view, it meant that Mozart was exposed to the stimulus of a wide range of different styles, all of which he was able to assimilate into his own mature style. J.S. Bach picked up the style of French and Italian music by painstakingly copying manuscripts. Mozart picked it up by travelling all over the continent and hearing the music at first hand.
Thank you.
nowadays, I think most people would question whether a childhood like that was really a good way to prepare for adult life. Things began to go wrong for young Wolfgang quite early. It was hard for him to settle in Salzburg, where he and his father were court musicians of the Prince Archbishop. The Archbishop didn't really appreciate the immense talent of his young servant. At the age of 21, Mozart set off on his travels again, accompanied by his mother. First to Mannheim, where Mozart fell in love with a young singer, Aloysia Weber, but his hopes of marriage were disappointed. So too were numerous attempts to find more suitable employment at various princely courts. On they went to Paris, where Mozart's mother took ill and died. The break from an increasingly difficult situation in Salzburg came in 1781, by which time Mozart was 25 years old. He was able to establish himself in Vienna, where the opportunities for a freelance musician were much greater. He married Constanze Weber, younger sister of his first love, Aloysia. And he made himself popular in Vienna by composing an opera in the German language, the kind of thing the Emperor Joseph II liked to encourage. As a pianist, Mozart quickly became the darling of the Viennese public. His piano concertos were written mostly for himself to play, and he captured the hearts of the audiences with his virtuoso playing and his astonishingly rich invention. Vienna too, Mozart became a friend of the great Joseph Haydn, 24 years his senior. He paid Haydn the great compliment of dedicating to him a set of 6 fine string quartets. And on hearing them, Haydn said to Leopold Mozart, "Before God and as an honest man, I tell you that your son is the greatest composer known to me, either in person or by name. He has taste, and what is more, the most profound knowledge of composition." It's often illuminating to know something of the circumstances behind Mozart's compositions, and especially to know the performers he had in mind. Most of his piano concertos, as I mentioned just now, were written for himself to play. Sometimes he wrote for pupils or amateurs, and then he tended to write rather more simply. When he was writing for professional soloists, if they had any particular specialities, he'd give them plenty of opportunity to shine. The bass aria we heard earlier from Mozart's German opera Die Entführung was written for Ludwig Fischer, who could produce some amazingly low notes. And Mozart's friendship with the clarinetist Anton Stadler has given us the wonderful Clarinet Concerto. There were probably two things Mozart wanted above all as a professional composer. One was the opportunity to write opera. In this he was reasonably successful. In May 1786 his opera Buffa, The Marriage of Figaro, was a tremendous success, and when it travelled to Prague the audiences there clamoured for more. Mozart gave them more the following year. In October 1787, Prague was treated to the first performance of the opera Don Giovanni. The other thing Mozart wanted was a job. It was all very well to be a freelance musician, but it was insecure. To tell the truth, it had only recently become possible because public concerts were quite unknown until the 18th century. Before that, a composer could only make a living by writing for the church, the court, or the opera theatre. A job at the court would have suited Mozart right down to the ground. In 1787 he obtained one as chamber composer to the imperial court, but it was hardly worthy of his genius. All that was required of him was to write dance music for annual balls. He got the job largely because the emperor wanted to keep him in Vienna and didn't want him seeking his fortune elsewhere. If any of you have seen the film Amadeus, you'll probably be familiar with the legend that Mozart was poisoned by an envious rival, Antonio Salieri. It's true that Mozart's genius far surpassed that of Salieri, but if anything, Mozart had more reason to envy Salieri than the other way round. Salieri had exactly the job Mozart longed for, court Kapellmeister to the emperor. But Mozart would never acquire such a distinguished position, and towards the end of the 1780s he began getting into financial difficulties. He'd been fated when he first arrived in Vienna, but the public is notoriously fickle. His personal life was not without its troubles either. Four of his six children died in infancy. Some of the sadness of this dark period in his life comes through in music of deep tragedy. By 1791, Mozart was writing begging letters to many of his friends and influential supporters. He struggled hard to gather enough commissions to pay his bills. An opportunity came through a friend and colleague to write a popular pantomime-type opera for a suburban theatre. It might sound unpromising, but in The Magic Flute, Mozart managed to produce music of extraordinary genius, despite the less than ideal circumstances. It's well known that the commission for a Requiem Mass came from a stranger who refused to give his name or the reason for the commission, but he was offering payment, and Mozart accepted the work. Deeply superstitious, he became convinced that he was writing the Requiem for himself. Alas, this turned out to be the case. At the time of his death in December 1791, aged only 36, he left an unfinished score. Thanks to the notes he left behind, though, his pupil Süssmayr was able to complete the work, Mozart's final masterpiece. We can only begin to wonder what Mozart might yet have produced had he lived as long as his friend Joseph Haydn, who reached the grand old age of 77. But in his 36 years, he left us with a marvellous collection of works of genius. 41 symphonies, 30 piano concertos, 27 string quartets, and over a dozen operas, including the ones he wrote in his childhood. What he gave us is an incomparable treasure. In thanks for all that we received from him, let's remember to say a prayer for the repose of his soul.
Monsignor Philip Whitmore is a music historian currently working at the Vatican Secretariat of State. You've been listening to a programme produced by Veronica Scaresbrick.